welcome into episode 50 of Katie's Craft Collective, the big 5-0. Wow. I'm Louise. This episode, the blather is in dreams. I'll reveal what I've been plotting, because I have. I've the update on the dams and Sean Nettalong, and the fibre postcards pairing up. I've got a review of the fleece and fibre source book. I'll let you know what the collective have been up to, and the Me show, of course, and I have the drams. All the episodes are in the show notes that come from where you download this from, so relax, get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this from my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering services. Get your cup of tea, your craft, I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
Away and sit in for a blather. Episode 50, Dreams. Get me all episode 50, the big 5-0. That's half 150 ones. Laugh out loud, it's easy. What did I put that down for? It's nearly 2 years since I started podcasting, and it adds up to 27 hours, about, of me talking non-stop. Oh, I love you full-time listeners. I don't even think I would go back and listen to me. So, if that's you, thank you, you lovely person. I'm glad I'm still entertaining you all enough for you to keep coming back. I started off pretty well, darn awful, but I've got it up to a level that I can live with, and I do like to keep improving it. I'll never be at the production levels of Treacle and Ink or Netflix, but I hope that the content will make up for it. And thank you to newer listeners for trying me out and thinking, "Oh, I quite like this. Enough to listen again. You're just a friend I haven't met properly yet." And if you're hearing sort of noises today, it's very, very windy here in Caithness. We've got a westerly gale coming in, screaming down the firth. The dog might come in and make an appearance. I was actually thinking of how I could incorporate my dog into the podcast, and I thought, well, I don't really want him to bark, because that's a bit harsh. I can make him kind of grumble, but I don't think you'd appreciate me making him grumble. But occasionally you'll hear him pattering into the kitchen, so to sit in front of the fire, which is also the crackly noise you sometimes hear. So he does get incorporated there. So excuse any rumbling in the background. This is the time I've got to do it this week. Anyway, back to the blather. So dreams. I thought of this. I'd been fast asleep, dreaming away. I got woken up by a small child who was then ill all over the carpet last week, or the week before. In my mad rush across the bedroom to avert this disaster, I was still dreaming, and it took me a wee while to come to full reality. Which was fine as, well, this reality wasn't so pleasant. But do you ever get to where you were and think, "Oh, I was really enjoying that dream now I've woken up." This happened to me a few times that week. Actually, it happened this morning. And then I got to thinking about dreams. How our brain goes a bit mental in the middle of the night, where it sorts out our conscious being into, oh, I don't know, purple rabbits bouncing across a field of, oh, blue sweeties. I'm not on the LSD, honest. You know, impossible mental stuff. Then we have the common dreams, the ones that mean something. The running away, not getting anywhere, the flying one. I quite like the flying one. The falling one, I don't like the falling one. The loose teeth one, dentist. The tidal wave one, and of course, they're all supposed to signify something. I used to have the tidal wave one quite a lot when I was pregnant, mainly with Daisy that I remember it. And to me, it meant something is coming and you can't escape it, and it's huge. Well, she was only £7, but a second child is a huge event in your life. Aw, £7. Oh, she's on a growth spurt now following the sickness bug, and she's a double dinner followed by double pudding the other night. Daisy likes her food. Even Sandy likes his food just now, it's great. And then we have our life dreams, the ones where we dream ourselves away from our current situations. Martin Luther King so famously had a dream. He dreamt of a better time, of no oppression, and although it is by no means perfect, it's come a long way from that speech. I'm sure all oppressed people dream of freedom, and right they should. Dear Syria, sort your stuff out, will you? I'm so sad to see wee bairnies dying or being mutilated on telly each night this week on the news, and I'm not naive enough to think that there's not much worse things going on behind the scenes, and all the politics behind it all too. Yeah, well, the world doesn't seem to help much either. Well, let's hope somewhere there has a dream of peaceful freedom for Syria, and other places like that. The Everly Brothers sang to us, "All I Have to Do Is Dream."
Dream, 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 dream.
I love that So I get my 50s rock and roll skirt on with a big petticoat, put my hair up in a ponytail and dance around. And then we have Blondie with Dreamin'. Back to 1979, get your red lipstick on. Of course, she has a cup of tea first. That's a good girl, Blondie. And be astounded by a wee wifey from Blackburn who got up in front of a crowd of, oh, look at the state of the lawn. And then she opened her mouth and we heard this.
Dreams are made and used and wasted.
I think Susan Boyle has been blessed with that voice, and it's good that the world gets to hear it. So if any of you listeners know her, keep an eye on her. She's a wee gift. Then get your cool gear back on with Teenage Dreams from Katy Perry. I don't think it was a lifelong dream for me to be a podcaster with lots of listeners. And I had a bit of a count up and I was delighted to see I have over 100,000 of you now. I'm not the biggest, I'm not the smallest, not the coolest, not the worst. It's like what a friend Baz said, sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long and in the end it's only with yourself. I'm just thankful that one day I had a mad dream of an idea where, oh, Nick does quite a good job and she's not from London. There's no Scottish one up here, nobody to talk about textile arts. And here we are 2 years later. I get to talk to you fortnightly, you get to catch up with crack. I've directed some of you around Scotland and some of you up to Caithness. I've met some more of you. I've swapped some things with some of you and I've had some beautiful, wonderful gifts from some more of you. I've shared what's happening with my craft and life and my business and you've told me things that have made me cry with happiness and sadness. I've told you about the history of Scotland and we've had quite a few parties. We've started drinking whiskey together now and we've learnt lots of new techniques and textile arts. We've shopped in the Crafting Chamber of Commerce. We've reviewed a lot of books. I think this year's crafting dream for me is to do the dressmaking and try and do it as well as I can. I have to carry on getting better with all the other crafts and carry on talking to you about it. I have a few new ideas for segments in the podcast for you, which will become apparent when I manage them. But I'm not going to tell you because in case they don't happen. What's your crafting dreams, your life dreams? And if you want to share them, please put them up for us. I've been plotting away for something, moo-ha-ha-ha, to thank you with and leaving a trail of breadcrumbs up to this gingerbread house. Mainly on Twitter. Every now and again I've been, I'm plotting. Ooh, more plotting. So, my lovely listeners, I would like to do something for you. I've been busy with the help of my mum making powder embossed thistle leather bookmarks to send you. If you would like one, please send me your postal address. I'm going to leave this offer open until the end of March 2012. Otherwise, I'll be bankrupt from the postal charges and probably run out of leather. And if you're listening in the future, keep listening because maybe I'll have come up with another mad plan. Dreaming is nice. I've been dreaming away on this. I've made most of the bookmarks in my dreams already. My mum often does this. She dreams her project up and she finishes them in her head when she's lying in her bed. We can do the impossible in our dreams. But you know what? Sometimes that impossible can turn into reality. With a lot of hard work, keep your eyes to the east on the fifth day, and you just never know. I just hope you don't get yanked out of the bed by a poorly bairn. Now, if you need a pee stop, because it's time for the Deezy Laugh. Can you do some giggling?
Good. I see that. Hello.
Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me a while and been with me forever listeners.
Hello.
I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you very much. And now, Sandy, hello to new group members.
Hello.
We've got Waligo Kaz, who owns the cafe down at Waligo, Steps. Mitchie828, who has the same dog as me, and he's just gorgeous. Twistle, who I've enjoyed reading about. Lena Blossom, who's from over the west. PGS, I've been friends with you for a while. Suna, and Levon. Thanks for joining. I love your messages and your projects. Please, everyone, carry on putting up their projects. I love seeing what you're all up to, because I'm nosy. And I like the blathering that's going on. I don't always reply, because I don't want to sort of take over everything. But I do read them. So thank you for the iTunes reviews. A few I've had recently. New ones. I do go read them, you know. And if you feel the need to remember your password in iTunes, leave a review and I'll be a happy podcaster. The random hellos are to Ruth Crafts. Hello. Blue NCNXN. Hello. D Muse. Knitting Cathy. Shorty Sutures. Have you listened to our podcast yet?
What's the E crack section?
What's the crack? I have another trail of breadcrumbs to tell you about for the next episode. Now, I had toyed with the idea of having a month off, but I can't possibly after the message I got from a lovely listener. And really, I'm fortnightly, so it's not so bad. Next episode, we are having a really lovely competition giveaway with the introduction of the next knit along. But it's the same thing. Don't feel you have to, just do it because you want to. The pattern and the yarn is going to be the competition prize. I suggest you all hang about for that one. Now, I'm going to repeat this bit. I've got my tickets to go to Glasgow on the 10th of March. We're going down on the 9th. I'll go into the ACCC in the morning of the 10th, and then we're going for a bit of shopping in Buchanan Galleries in the afternoon. Would any of my South of Scotland listeners want to meet up at some point? Please let me know. I've had a couple of messages, which is nice, so I've decided for those that maybe are a bit of a lurker, I'm going to hang around the Costa Coffee bit nearest the main entrance about 11:30 in the foyer of the SECC. I'll be wearing a carnation and carry the briefcase. Hey, I'd love to do that. The rain in Moscow is cold today. No. I'll be wearing my cardigan of rainbows, which is a stripy cabled affair, and you can see the picture on my project page of Ravelry if you really don't know what I look like, but I'm kind of short, my hair is slightly purple, and I'll have my mum with me. So, no fear of, oh, I'm going to meet somebody off the internet. Well, yeah, you just meet me, and it's not that exciting. Still mentioning the Fibre Fest coming up in Dornoch, coming up on the 16th to the 18th of March. I actually kind of got the dates wrong, but I think you kind of figured it out. And it's taking place at the Dornoch Social Club. You can get more information at www.craftsandcraftspeople.com. And also give the Gaelic Fibre Fest a shout out, which is scheduled for the 19th through the 21st of July in Benderloch near Oban, Argyll, which I attended last year and I plan to go back this year. And some of you recently have asked if my husband has a different accent to me. Yes, he does, because he is from Oban. And they have a different accent to the Caithnesians. He's got a very pronounced accent with his rolling his R's, and pound, and round. So note that when he's talking later on. I've not told him I'm telling you this. Hey. In a non-fibre related event, I figured out that the Great Trip South is going to happen over the first weekend of the Olympics, which is the 28th of July. Obviously for security reasons, we will have my mum installed in my house for my stash. And the event that we can all go along to is the cycling marathon, where you don't need a ticket. Finally, something to encourage the general public. I'm really disappointed in the ticket situation, as it's put a lot of people off, including myself. So, I will be in London for the 28th of July. Back to Fibre News. Have you all heard of Scarfgate? Well, what a stooshy was on the Ravelry British Knits Forum after some rather prominent members of the knitting fraternity appeared on BBC Breakfast News one morning last week. The comment started with, "Ooh, knitting's on the news. What's she making?" Which was fine, but then it got a bit to the, "Has she got blue hair? Oh, she's making a scarf. Oh, it's awful. Oh, she's not done much in 3 hours." You know, them type of comments. Now, these comments are, of course, people's opinions, of which they are perfectly entitled to. But they did seem to forget, or not realise, the forum was actually used by the knitter on the TV with the blue hair knitting what's now called, or she's called it, the Scarf of Doom. The thread went off on one. I only saw it after the Twitter message from the aforementioned knitter, and I thought, I will read that, see if I should put my tuppence in, but no. It got worse and worse, and as far as I can see, it's been deleted. There is a fair debate about the whole thing, and that's the thing with forums. There's going to be extreme viewpoints in them, and sometimes it's hard to read what you don't agree with and let it lie. But, well, the world is like that, and it would be dull as a dishwasher if we all agreed. But I tell you what, lovely listeners, I'm so glad for my group that you're all lovely listeners and forum group members. I am the moderator, and so far, very pleased not to have to pull any of you up on anything. Long may it continue. However, I think she and the rest of them did a very good job of going on and talking about something that we just do as a matter of course. And remember, do it because you enjoy it, not because of what other people think about it, okay? Speaking of other stooshies, there's Yarn Addict Annie on Twitter posted a blog about the situation that she's found herself in with a certain magazine published in the UK. And she doesn't seem to be alone, so I don't have any qualms about telling and warning the designers that listen to me to read her post. It's at www.annisknittingblog.blogspot.com, and it describes how she was not being paid by the Allcraft Media, which is the company that publishes Knit Magazine, which used to be Yarn Forward, amongst others, including Inside Crochet. And according to quite a lot of designers, the company has not been very professional. It is accepting designs and not paying for them, nor being true to their sock club members. Now, I know that these are economically hard times, especially in Greece. Ooh. Anyway, it is sad to see that this is happening in the knitting world, and it's really sad to see that they're not managing their accounts and finances according to the rules set in the UK of, if you buy something, then you pay for it. I'm a business owner, I pay for things. Duncan Bannatyne is a business owner, he pays for things. You should pay for things. Take responsibility. And yes, we all get behind with the rent sometimes, but not being upfront and honest is not helping matters. Sadly, in all walks of life and business, there are those that don't play by the same rules as the rest of us do. I hope it gets sorted out, and to the best of both worlds. Nobody wants anybody out of a job, but nobody wants to be anybody out of pocket either. They have mouths to feed too. But nicer news now. Entangled issue 4 is out on Zinio, so go bye 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 and keep Granny G in a job. How you doing, my wee pal down under? You still listening? And I got my spot box over from Treen for Valentine's Day. Thank you so much, Treen. In a week of poorly bairns, the house stinking of dettol, which is antiseptic, it even led to the dog being bathed because Daisy was sick on his head. And I got a box of red in the post. It came on Valentine's Day when I opened it with Daisy. It wasn't toys like she wanted. Toys! But yarny yarn and red yarn at that. I got a really lovely dark red rose colour of Knit Picks Lace Weight Shadow. These are now in my Do Not Touch in Case of Emergencies glass box until I figure out what I'm going to make with them. I have a string of merino roving in a red colour, which is actually already on my spindle. And I'm trying to get it nice and thin, say about sock weight, to make it go further. There was also a little knitted heart bunting, which was claimed instantly by the princess of the house, and it is now adorning her bedroom. But it's perfect for her kind of bedroom, really. And it's pink, and she loves pink and red. And a spin-off magazine, which was great because I don't get here easily, and also there was a knitting calendar which has oodles of patterns. So thank you, Treen. Bathing the dog was fine after the box of red. And now I think, box of red, it's lovely. Now, in return, or before I got hers, I had sent her the pink Sea from Space hand-dyed by me by the cochineal that we thought was paint, the yarn that we dyed last year. Or was it maybe the year before? I can't remember now. I remember doing it. And I knitted some wee hearts I stuffed with lavender to keep the moths off for her stash. I couldn't tell you about them last episode. They're very easy and they used up some Red Sea from Space yarn in my stash. Also, I sent a wee wooden box with a cupcake and heart that contained some Orkney fudge, and the box was broken in the post, which was very sad. Anyway, it was lovely to send things over the Atlantic and have some stuff back. I hope you all get the equivalent box of red soon. It's such a lovely vibrant colour and I don't think I buy it for myself enough. So red, new black.
The review section.
I'm an awful wifey. Conned my hubby into buying me the Fleece and Fibre Sourcebook by Deborah Robson and Carol Icarus. I have to put insert giggles here. He occasionally goes into Amazon and he buys some books or CDs or birthday presents. And I said, if I put a book on there, would you buy it for me next time that you're ordering things so we can save money on the posting? And actually buy it, because I put lots and lots of stuff on my Amazon wishlist, but really, it's him that buys things, you know? So he did, and it came pretty quickly, and it was my box of raid that day. Thank you, lovely hobby. Here goes for my review, as believe me, everyone has reviewed this book. Everyone has it. And if you haven't, put it on your husband's Amazon wishlist. Here we have the Fleece and Fibre Sourcebook, which is published by Story, Storey Publishing, and it retails in, well, I was going to say free, because there's no price in the back barcode, and I was gifted it, but I looked up on Amazon, it's £15 for the hardback copy, and the inside of the cover, it says $35. But I am delighted to report it's bigger and fatter than I expected. I had it in my head that it was still paperback, or it's softback, hardback, and it was shorter and thinner, so it was just a delight to get. There are 438 pages in this bad boy, and it does what it says on the tin. It is a reference book for spinners, really, as it details all the different fibres that you can spin with. But it would be of interest to knitters if you had been gifted some kind of yarn and you didn't really know what to do with. It is a very nice front section of the history of why they did the book, the history of the fibre, and even the biology of it, which can be interesting to explain the why of why things stick together. This reference part is very good, and although we all flack straight past it to find the sheep breeds that we know, we should all go back to the section and have a right good reading. Throughout the book there are nice quotes from famous people, both in the fibre world and the rest of the world. I couldn't think of what was not the fibre world. So my favourite was Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, who said, "I think I could sing and shear a few sheep at the same time." That's actually not very easy to say. You go for it, Robert, though. Then it goes into the different animals and breeds of animals that we get our lovely fibre for making things. The photographs are plentiful and very clear, mostly by John Pollock, with some help from others. The pictures of the animals, I think, are comical, but only because they capture the essence of an animal's personality. We often think of sheep as stupid animals, but they do what they do very, very well, and they've been around for a long, long time, serving man for his meat and wool. I think they've got a wee glint in their eye. If they were to do caption competitions in this book, there would be an awful lot of funny entries. It doesn't just cover sheep, it has goats and camelids and other critters, that's what it calls it, including bisons, dogs, rabbits, yaks, amongst others. But no yetis and no chewbaccas, Susan. That's a private joke. Now, there's plentiful bibliography, acknowledgements, indexes and credit sections at the back. It makes you realise what an undertaking this book was. For all the animals in the book, and I would say there are at least 100, more than that, that they got some fibre, they prepared it, they spun it, they knitted it. And it was knitted. Without help, this book would still be in production. But what a good idea and what a wonderful book. In each animal, they have them in their breed sections, such as the black-faced mountain family, the Cheviot family, the Dorset, and so on. Then each breed, such as the Dalesbred, Derbyshire, Gritstone, Lonk, and Roughvale, there's some funny names in there, just to name the first five. So then each animal has a photo, there's information about that particular animal, and there's some very clear photos of the clean, the raw fleece, the two-ply spun up from the yarn, the aforementioned knitted sample, and there are facts such as the fleece weight, staple length, fibre diameters, lot characteristics and natural colours. Then it tells you what the recommended uses for, such as carpets or stockings. Should you dye it and how should you best prepare it? For a relatively new spinner, I find this book wonderful for the knowledge instead of having to go trolling around for the information. There it is, all in one place. And I know a lot of the podcasters who are spinners use it as a reference book, and it's not very far away from it at all times. So I now add my recommendation to the list of everybody else's. As a balance, I do try to have something that could be improved or I don't like, but you know what? I can't find anything, so I'm not going to. I follow Deborah Robson on Twitter. She actually replies if you send her a message. Cool. She's very kind with her knowledge. I wish her and Carl all the best in their next venture, because if it's anything like this book, then it'll be well worth being part of. So this is Fleece and Fibre Sourcebook by Deborah Robson and Carol Icarus, recommended. Damson Knit Along. Yeah, I've ripped it out. Completely. But now I'm back to row, 54, and I'm rattling away. and you're all still very busy with this, and Ravelry Thread is great. Don't get stuck on it now. If you have any questions, big or small, no matter how small, please put it up there and one of the lovely people will help. Probably not me. Now, also, I recommend listening to Nick from Yarns for the Plane talk about the dams, and all of a sudden she was in the thread and she'd half done it in this beautiful red colour. Obviously the dams in colour, you know, I wasn't that literal, mine's just blue. And she talks how the structure of the shawl is made, and it's worth listening to. She did a much better job than I could, so I recommend you listen to her too. Anyway, but I recommend that you listen to that one. I think it's number 40. In fact, it is, because it's called Ruby 40. I should be called Golden, because I'm 50. That's not my age, that's my episode number. Anyway, fabric postcards, moving on. There's a thread on Ravelry for this swap. Put your name up still if you're interested, and I'm going to swap you. I'm going to sort you into swap partners this weekend, which is the end of February 2012. But feel free to keep adding your names and I'll pair you up after. I really enjoyed getting them in the post, so I think it's only fair that we do share this around. And don't be scared of this thought either. If you cotton stick with glue, you can do this. The sewing part over and above is the magic. Poor Nitrum. I read my message and it didn't come out in writing like I meant it. Don't make it hard for yourself. Feel free to use glue, everyone. However, back to the Me show. Because it's all about me. As mentioned, it was dams and knitting. It was more of the first three letters of it for a while. But I was also bookmark making with Mum and spindling. And I really want to cast on the Robin Ulrich hat Bosque. I think that's how you say it. But I had to do a practice tension square because I don't have any worsted weight on my stash, just darn weight. But I still plan on this and the Piper's Journey shawl when the damson is off the needles, which I want to wear for when I go to Glasgow. And due to the poorly blog, I didn't make it to Texelart, but I did start my 12-month project. So this is where I do a piece of Texelart from a photo taken at the back of my garden, and it's going to be once a month throughout this year. I found the photos that I'd taken. Gee whiz, I didn't know where I'd put them in. It was on his laptop. And hubby and I sat down and we did some painting and he did some charcoal. He likes drawing with pencils and charcoal, and I was doing watercolouring. So he's quite a literal person as well. He did a picture and it had to be precisely exactly what it was he was looking at, and he wasn't happy because it wasn't exactly what he was looking at. So here's me watercolouring. So I'd have to shove a bit of orange in here. And he went, I can't do that. And I says, what do you mean? And he says, it has to be exactly what I'm looking at. And I'm thinking, but that's me too. And I don't know, all of a sudden, I seem to have managed to come out of that. I'm still not as abstract as what the lovely Catherine at Texelart can be, but I'm getting there. So I did a few samples and then I tacked a piece of dyed green blanket that has got great texture. It was one of Daisy's old ones. And now I need to put some stitching in it and do the foiling. But I've still not told you about this because I want to do it first before I splaff on about it. So I haven't forgotten. So I do it first. And I've taken this month's photos, so I'll have to go back to the In Stitches DVD and decide on the next technique for it. So the collective, what they were up to, because it's not just me, although it really is me. At spinning, for a wintry day, spinning was quite busy. The lovely Rachel was there and she sat beside me and we talked all the time. Which mean you talked all the time? Yes, I'm quite good at that. Firstly, I got out my wheel and then I got out my band as I realised I didn't have any chunky weight yarn in my stash. So I went for the iSpin Toolkit application on the iPad. If you don't have this, I would suggest that you give it a look. I'm not going to review it due to the fact that I don't actually understand it yet, but it is a nice helper for if you need a gauge. I've also got a few knitting applications to look at and see about reviewing, but I've got to do YouTube tutorials on them all, which is kind of why I've not done them yet. But I've started. Back to spinning. I have been spinning up the Zorbal, I was told how to say it, and now have three full bobbins. I even had little Daisy sitting on her little chair in front of me, in front of the spinning wheel, and she was helping doing the treadline, and course, the part of the bobbin that she helped with is not great. She had good fun helping Mummy. At spinning, there was some drum carding going on, some combing with the scary big combs, and a fair bit of gassing going on. Rachel knows everyone by their wheels. I must be the joy lassie with the purple hair to the other ones. I wish I knew about enough about wheels to be able to do this. But it was nice. So I quite enjoyed it. Craft night. We head were a Vimto craft night at Sarah's. We call it Vimto night because the first one we had, everybody drank Vimto, and the name stuck. Yes, I was in the Girl Guides, and Brownie. It was good fun. Sarah was a lovely host and had made some shortbread, which was yummy. Thank you, Sarah. Her mum was visiting, and it was good to catch up with her. My own mum was there, knitting on a wee pink cardigan for her friend's granddaughter-to-be. Or is, I'm not 100% sure. She was using a pink yarn that she had reclaimed last year from a cardigan that she had half-knitted for me when I was a little bird. Well, last year she made a bonny pink hat, scarf and mitts for Daisy. How's that for recycling? Almost 37 years. Yes, it's my birthday before I go to Glasgow. You may send me presents. I'm joking on the way. Sarah and Caroline were making a 70s outfit for Sarah's hubby, which is the monochrome sheep, and they've had a lot of lambs recently. I don't think he's updated his blog in a while, and I'm thinking, looking at the lambs going, nice fleece on that one, and then, oh, it's cute. We've got my neighbour's big birthday with a zero at the end, because she's a lady, and we don't see which one, except that she was born in the 70s, since it's a 70s party. Happy birthday, Miranda! And I've got a hideous nylon affair to wear, and hubby is going a Starsky or a Hutch, I'm not sure which. Ah. So I was making cards from a Let's Make magazine that I bought last year. I love how it's all in one place and it matches, so I don't have to hunt around for the perfect colour to match, and you can cart it around in a wee box or bag. I do think it's cheap though. And then Rachel was there knitting away and said that her new Toyota sewing machine was being delivered the next day. Many, many happy years of sewing on this. Hopefully more on this in future episodes. Subliminal message to Carrie. I think you need to get yourself something nice too. You too deserve nice things. Because you're nice people. We send you hugs and love. And thanks for just being there, Carrie. And you're back in the room. We made the monochrome sheep try on the said 70s outfit. Made with the biggest scissors in the world that Caroline had. Oh, how we laughed at the outfit. It's groovy. Or is that the 60s? I'm not sure. I think the 70s is the decade that taste forgot. I'm not a fan, it has to be said. Brown and yellow are not colours that should be worn together. They are in the wrong place in the colour wheel. Oh, trees in nature, yes. In fashion, disaster. Speaking of fashion, the London Fashion Week has just happened, so we should know what's going to be the next season's colours and patterns, so we'll look forward to seeing that. Because, of course, I'm so trendy. Yeah, we'll hear about it from Electric Sheep and Playful Day. And then maybe next year I'll tell you. Right, that was me. Now on to the drams, where we have my husband. And there's no more after this, so if the drams not your thing, thanks for listening, and speak to you next episode. If it is, here you go.
We're dramming. We're dramming, we're dramming, we're dramming, we're dramming. We hope you like dramming too.
That was good. Well, you can tell we've got company tonight. Hello to Ali and Graham. We've got guests this weekend, and they're going to help us taste this Laphroaig.
Evening.
Say hello.
Evening.
Cool.
And they're from Oban.
Yeah, both of these are from Oban, so you might hear the difference in the accent. So, I always describe the bottle, because it's the artistic part. So this time we're drinking a 10-year-old Laphroaig, which is an Isla single malt Scotch whisky. And the box is a very roundy, white, cardboardy box with green at the top and the bottom. And it's by appointment to HRH, the Prince of Wales, very posh. It's got a bonny wee picture of the distillery, and I know it looks exactly like that because I've seen it. It says it's distilled on the remote island of Isla off the west coast of Scotland. Laphroaig is the most richly flavoured of all Scotch whiskies. I would utterly and totally agree with that statement because it's a very strong, specific flavour. Laphroaig is spelt L-A-P-H-R-O-A-I-G. But you say it Laphroaig. And if you're from Oban, you say it like
Laphroaig.
With rolling your R's. Because I don't do that very often. The bottle is a green bottle and it's bottly shaped, but it's got the white label. I wouldn't say that's very weird. not produced, but it's not glossy.
It's only 10 year.
It doesn't matter, it's what tastes like it anyway.
They're not pulling out the stocks for a 10 year.
No. And it's 40% volume, and we have here a 70cl bottle. Of course, it says drink responsibly as usual. So there's your.
Not that jazz.
I laid that bit out too. Right, and it comes with a wee boogie. And it says, free your own square foot of Islay. But this has got the tasty notes in it. I've never seen this in any other bottle of whiskey. And, you know, open it.
I thought most of the new malts came with tasting notes now.
They do, on them. But I've never seen one of them.
All right, be ready for this.
Well, right, here's the opening of the bottle. That's a nice sound. You can do that. I like that. And
so we go for the look first, then the smell. First of all, we look at it and the colour. Now, I'm thinking of one distinct thing in this colour, because I was eating one earlier on.
Oh, I think I would agree with you.
Is a Mr. Kipling apricot jam tart.
I would totally agree with you.
It's an image.
Would you say that was the colour?
Yep, definitely.
Cool.
It's just like tea.
Yeah, so then
like
what you do is you roll the whiskey around in the glass and watch how long it takes to fall. I can't even see it.
I can.
How's yours?
Oh, it's taking ages.
Mm-hmm.
It's like oil.
Just like oil coming down the side of your
throat.
No, I'm sorry.
And you smell it.
Is that the peat?
It smells
very smoky.
It's very strong. It's smoky, it's peaty, and it's almost got an oil colour to it if you look inside your glass.
You'll be doing me a job.
Sorry.
Fantastic. Just carry on. It's slightly better than carbon de sheet.
Carbon de
sheet. Carbon. But if you do,
it has a very distinctive smell to it as well.
Yeah.
It's like oil and water when you see it. Just there's enough of a shape and a light.
Would you say that it was a kind of Marmite kind of flavour? You either love it or you dinna.
Yeah, but a lot of the Islay malts are like that.
Are they?
I would prefer spice. So there's Islay and malt. That's tarry, peaty, tea, really in your face.
It's an acquired.
It's an acquired
strong flavour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I like. I prefer that to spice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the more subtle flavours are.
So that's that. Now, do you want a little drop of water?
Right. You put the water in to lower the alcohol content. I read up on tasting notes somewhere. So, what did you sniff it?
You sniff it first.
Right.
And we've kind of done the smell. Very distinctive smell.
It should hit you like a barn door.
Should hit you like a barn door. Like that.
And
it's going up my nose.
That's a lovely smell. It's very strong.
No, she's tasted
it. It's almost disinfecting me, because that's why it gets called TCP.
Oh, I like that better than TCP.
It tastes like wood chips.
Oh.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So
yeah,
a wee taste, you roll it, and then you swallow it, and then apparently.
Well,
then
I've already swallowed it.
Yeah.
And then she'd work out the aftertaste, because they'll stick the back of your tongue.
Oh, you're good at this, Graham. Right.
Oh, that's lovely.
So.
See, I really don't get it.
I know, but it's so.
It really isn't a quality taste. It's like you eating burst spikes. I don't get it at all.
You get the wood chips, and then afterwards, it's like you've been at a bonfire.
I would agree with that.
Smoke.
It says here the colour is sparkling gold, the nose is huge smoke, seaweed, a hint of sweetness.
I don't get seaweed.
I don't get.
But
sweetness.
I totally agree with the smoke. And having lit the odd fire myself in the past, I do like that smell. The smell of burning.
I like the smell, not the
dry
taste.
Wood and the smell of burning grass.
The burning smell and everything else, but tasting
not
it,
the taste of it, no.
The body is a full body. What? There's a dead body in there.
No, it hits you like a barn door.
A dead body, it hits you like a dead body.
They'd be stacking up in front of this barn.
Taste. Islay peat smoke, full and earthy, tangy salt laden air, and an echo of sweetness at the end. The finish is long and unforgettable.
I get the finish, I don't get the sweetness, and I don't get the seaweed, but I get everything else.
This is quite a good little boogie, because it's got the wee tasty notes of the 10
and
the 18.
You can reserve your square foot of Islay ground.
That is quite a nice wee thing that they've got going on here.
If you like the smell of creosote.
Huh?
Yeah, I like the smell of creosote. It's not a whiskey I would have chosen. I would have preferred
a Brooklyn or a Boonahaven.
Or a Boonahaven.
We got Boonahaven for our wedding, mind.
Was it?
Aye, it's been having
that. That was it, I liked that. It came in a nice bottle. But actually, I quite like that tonight.
It's different. I wouldn't want it all the time. I mean, it's a very distinct, unique flavour, and it's something to have just every once in a while.
Exactly. I would agree.
I think you
that.
Could have one, and that would last you a good wee while. I don't think you could drink the bottle kind of thing.
We could try, but I don't think that would be appropriate.
Drink responsibly, people.
Yes, yes.
Ignore my husband. Where do you stand with ice or water in your whiskey? Because one of my listeners sent me a link. I think it was Wearing Framed. And she sent me a link with these little stone-looking ice cubes. And you're supposed to use them instead of ice cubes. You put them in the freezer, they freeze, they go in your drink, and it's instead of having ice cubes. Personally, no.
See, personally, I prefer an ice cube. I like an ice cube.
I would have an ice cube. I wouldn't have something chilling the drink. I would rather have the ice cube to add just to the water. Just as it mellows as it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But then, for drinking the likes of an Isle of Malt, I would prefer water just to distill the sharpness and the bitterness. I don't get where I get the sweetness from, because I think that's quite bitter when you first taste it.
I don't get it. No, it's not bitter. I just find it quite strong flavour.
Because it does make you go...
Mm-hmm. Very strong, but
makes you suck
the
cheeks.
Sweetness.
No, not me. I think it's all taste.
There's all taste. But no to your rocks and chilling.
No, I know. I didn't like the look of them. They were grey, and they looked like stones in your whisky.
I tell you what they look like. They just look like kidney stones that have been squared off.
I hope you're nobody is eating at this point.
But no, a couple of ice cubes in a whiskey and let it sit and take your time over it. It's like the amount of people you see go, "Oh, that's lovely, wallop." No, take your time and save it.
You're good.
I'm
going to
say wallop means down it.
I'm quite impressed that Graham here has been a connoisseur of alcoholic beverages such as whiskey for as long as I have, and he's obviously drinking responsibly, just like myself too.
Graham's actually got a can of Tennant's Lager to himself.
That's
just now.
Putting me down a peg or two.
You can take the boy out of Oban, but you can't take Oban out the boy. I, on the other hand, have got the classic Duker's IPA too.
Ooh, I'm drinking tonight, apart from a cheeky Vimto, a Frank's alcoholic ginger beer. Yeah, I feel like I should be drinking this underneath
your beverage of choice.
A large cheeky Vimto.
Which is?
It is Blue Wicked and port.
Mmm.
Just very nice.
It tastes just like blackcurrant juice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd say, have we got anything else to say about this?
No, but I shall enjoy sampling the Laphroaig every so often.
Uh-huh.
Just a little nip here and there.
Can we have the opening of the can of lager? Oh, isn't that
there
a nice sound? Enjoy that. So we'll just say one last thing.
Thank you, Matt. Slange
it.
Slange
it.
The blah, blah, blah session.
Blah, blah, blah bit. And that is me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you're all in good health, and if not, good fettle. You can download me from Podbean or iTunes, and all reviews are gratefully welcome. Please do carry on with the reviews and comments. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt. You can join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there. I am also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers for the embroidery and quilting. And Twitter. Yes, I'm on there quite a lot. Caithness Craft. Music is Off the Cuff, playing Jigs, The Road to Banff, Maureen's Jig and Jig Run Rig from musicalley.com, where you can go and buy it. Thank you to Paula for that tip ages ago. Thanks for listening, and keep on crafting.